How to Vivi, der Podcast der Passauer Wirtschaftsfakultät.
I would like to welcome you to our new episode of the podcast How to Vivi. Today I'll be talking to Mr. Scott Foley from the Sprachenzentrum and we'll have a chat about our English courses.
Oh, hi, Marco. Thanks for the invitation. Yeah, my name is Scott Foley. I'm from the United States. I've been here for, I think almost, 12 years at the university. And I took over as the coordinator for English for Business and Economics when Mr. Jackson retired. We are a team, so I'm just the coordinator, but there are four of us. And yeah, we come from all different countries. We have two from Ireland and one South African. And Mr. Barreto, he's from the US as well. So yeah, that's our team. Yeah, and we're here today just to talk about the changes in the curriculum. We've made a number of changes since Corona. We changed some of the exam formats and also the format of the course itself, right? And so we just wanted to talk to you and Marco and talk about what has changed since you took English back in 2019, I think, before Corona, and yeah, just highlight the different things that are new.
So my name is Marco. I'm the speaker of the student committees of the Fachschaft Vivi. Currently, I'm in my third semester in the Master International Economics and Business. But beforehand, I did my bachelor here in Business Administrations and Economics. And in my first three semesters, I had the pleasure to take the English courses here at the university. Unfortunately, not with you, Scott.
That's very, very charming. Thank you.
Yeah, but I always had a good perception of our English courses. Nevertheless, a lot of students complain about them or, yeah, maybe not have such a good opinion. But actually, as you said, a lot of things changed since before Corona and also during Corona. And yeah, we will discuss about this today. And we hope that it's interesting for you guys to hear the perspectives of the teachers and yeah, what their opinion is and how they also went with the feedback they got from us, from various students. And yeah.
Good. So what was it like in your first semester? I assume you did the C test. Is that how you got placed into Aufbaustufe 2? You did the C test first?
Yeah. Exactly. I did the C test. I think it was, kind of okay. Of course, a lot of students, as we know from the Students Committee, always feel like, why should I do the C test? Since I have a certificate from the gymnasium, for example, that I already have a level of B2+. So why is there even the possibility to being placed in Aufbaustufe 1, which equals B1? And or being placed in Aufbaustufe 2, which equals B2, since you've already got B2. So why isn't it possible to just advance to the Hauptstufe 1?
Yeah, that's a fair question. Well, I mean, first, I just want to point out that the C test is our only method of really putting people into the proper course based on their language abilities. I understand it is a rather unique type of test, and I'll admit that I had never seen anything like it before I came here. However, it is very, very useful, and I believe it does have some scientific backing with academic literature, that it does give people a general idea of where they should be. That doesn't mean it's always perfect, though, of course. But the C test is a prerequisite for signing up in StudIP. So it is important that you take it seriously. And yeah, one of the big problems, I think, is that sometimes people, what I hear is that they sometimes do it together, they work on it together. And this is sort of shooting yourself in the foot, I would say, because then you'll get placed in the wrong course. And then, you know, you're sort of wasting your time. And by the time you get into the right course, you will have missed a few weeks. So it's important to take the C test, to take it seriously, to do it thoroughly, take a look at the directions. And I believe, I did look this up, I believe the C test starts on the 10th of October, so next week, or from the time that we're doing this podcast, until the 12th of October. And I believe, though I'm not sure, there should be what they call a nachholtermin in case there are a few stragglers who didn't get the opportunity to take it. So I don't know. I couldn't find that out when that will be, but there's always like a second day for those people who weren't able to take it. But it is required. And you shouldn't sign up for a course until you've taken the C test, right? And the other question that you mentioned, and it is a good point, Marco, why Aufbaustufe 2, which is a B2 level. The reason is not because of the language, is not because of the grammar or anything like that. It's really just about the vocabulary. It's about the business and the economics vocabulary. We assume that students know vocabulary in the subject. So we're starting from scratch, as we say, from zero. And this is the reason. This is why most people start in Aufbaustufe 2. I don't want to say that there aren't a few exceptions. I've had a few people say that they've come with a business English background and they know a lot of things. And yeah, it can happen that if they come and talk to me, that we'll put them in the Hauptstufe. But by and large, generally speaking, most people start with Aufbaustufe 2, and that's really the answer to the question there. So after having done the C test, you did the course, and what were your impressions of it, Marco? What did you think about it?
Yeah, I think actually the courses are pretty decent. Like back then when I was doing them, they were once a week for 2 hours, but this changed, right?
Right, yes. We did switch to a four-hour-a-week format after Corona. We weren't able to manage that earlier with the limited number of resources. At that point in time, there were too many students, and it just wasn't really feasible. So we switched to a four-hour course, and it's really beneficial now that we have more time to actually do more small group work, discussions. It's very interactive as opposed to just, you know, writing vocabulary on the board or anything like that. Right. So I think it's changed a lot since you did it.
So do you think that the workload increased for the students if you're saying that the time they're spending in the classroom doubled? Or what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, that's a good question, because of course the ECTS, that has not changed. It's still 5 ECTS, but now we have 4 contact hours. I would explain it this way. From the perspective of a student, the workload is still the same. It's just that we can now do more in the framework of the course itself. So I think that's a benefit. 5 ECTS is a certain number of hours. I don't know off the top of my head. I can't remember. But I think it's like around 120 hours of work. And now we can do more of it in class in an interactive format, as opposed to students doing more at home, you know, just in their room trying to memorize vocabulary. So I think from the point of view of the workload, it's the same, but I think it's more interactive now. And I think it's easier to do the workload when you have, you know, someone who's guiding you through it as opposed to being on your own.
Yeah, I think that's actually pretty nice, because looking back now, having to do homework and everything, this more seems like stuff from you would do in school rather than in university. But on the other side, if you now have more hours, can talk more closely with your teachers, also have the interactive point of talking to another with your fellow students, I think this is pretty decent. And as you said, in the end, the workload is the same because the script didn't change or the course book. And so, yeah, I think this is actually a good adaptation you made.
Right. Yeah. So we changed this after Corona. And I understand that for some students, it's hard to make both lessons a week, because sometimes you have some type of conflict. I mean, I understand that. Your teacher always understands that. If you can't make both, it's not the end of the world, not at all. I would say maybe just talk to the teacher at the beginning of the semester. Just go to the class, sign up in StudIP, go to the course, talk to the teacher. You know what? It could be that there are a bunch of people who have the same issue. And maybe, just maybe, there's a possibility that you find an alternate date, time, you know, and maybe you can find the room. and maybe it can change it, perhaps. I think it might be difficult with the scarcity of rooms, but, you know, miracles do happen, right? So I just talked to the teacher, and I think that, you know, we're always open to, you know, just any type of issues you may have. Just talk to us, and we'll see if we can arrange something that works for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's very generous from you, and it also shows your openness. Because in the last semesters, we unfortunately saw that a lot of students didn't do their English courses, and it would be very sad that it kind of dies out. Because I think you guys are doing a really great job, and as you said, you're very open also to suggestions and to proposals, and if there is a chance to work something out, I think every one of you will try their best to get it for all of us students.
Right, absolutely. And I think that actually applies for the whole Sprachenzentrum, the whole language department. We're all committed, and all my colleagues are engaged. And it's really unfortunate that since Corona, we've seen a rather drastic decrease in people doing languages. And so we really want to get the word out there that this is a big opportunity for you guys to take advantage of the great expertise and the know-how here at the university. So yeah, that's one of the reasons we're doing this.
Yeah, and from a student point of view as well, like, honestly, guys, of course, you could always say that after finishing your studies, you can always take a course doing English or any other language. But in the end, now you really have the opportunity. You also have the free time, because maybe if you have a 40 or 60 hour working week after your studies, and there's only the weekend left for doing things, yeah, the question is whether you would really like to spend this precious time with a language course, or do it now where you have the opportunity to do it for free and even get ECTS credit points for it. So I think this is also a thing you should consider.
And let's just come back to you. I'm just sort of interested. So you did Aufbaustufe 2 in your first semester. Did you go on in summer and go directly to Hauptstufe 1-1, or did you wait a little bit in between?
No, I did the Hauptstufe 1-1 and thereafter the 1.2 straight away, because I think it was like a natural choice. And also, like, you can remember the vocabulary more easily without a time gap in between. Yeah, and of course, in the Hauptstufe you're dealing with different topics than in the Aufbaustufe 2. Nevertheless, the vocabulary that you've learned comes in handy. And yeah, I think it was also a nice time, even though it was during my Corona semesters.
Mm.
And yeah, also with regard now to the exams, which a lot of students always say, yeah, they're pretty hard and it's not so fair. But actually, since Corona, a lot of has changed, as I heard. Yeah, and so maybe you could guide us through what has changed. So if I'm now thinking back, we had to write an essay with a given theme, but actually now that is some quite different, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I see what you're saying about it not being fair. I mean, I think the exams were always fair, but what we tried to do now, ever since Corona, is we've changed the format a little bit, and we realized that the old format, you had a very long text with, I think, two questions, if I remember correctly, two questions, like text analyses based on that one text. And I think that sometimes if the subject of that text was not one that students really felt comfortable with, they had a really hard time, although they put in a lot of work learning a lot of different things in the course. But if they just weren't comfortable, let's just say with bankruptcy, all right, it's just an example, okay? You know, they didn't have a firm grasp of how Chapter 11 works, the differences between that and Chapter 7 in the U.S., then they might not do that well on the exam. But what we've done now is we've changed the format, so we have a much shorter text, one question, and then we have some concepts that you explain, okay? And we're giving you the choice. So the idea is here that a student who isn't that good on bankruptcy might be good at something else like corporate governance or what have you. and then be able to do well on, like, let's say one of these concepts. So we have a total of four concepts, and you can choose two to do. I personally think that that helps a little bit, right? So it spreads the points over a number of different subjects. In fact, all of the subjects that we cover will be on the exam, right? And then it gives the student a choice. So if you missed a week or two, I think it's more doable, let's put it that way, right?
And I think this also gives an incentive to learn all the stuff that you did. And yeah, so kind of learning pays off, right? In the end, it's not only maybe a thing of luck, because as you said, maybe one topic is harder for the one student, while for the other students, it's more easy. Now, everyone, I would say, has a very fair chance of managing the exam if you, of course, did your studies and prepared for it. And actually, the oral exam changed too, because, yeah, so back then when I did it, we were always two students in a room together with the teachers, like you. And yeah, we had to elaborate on different concepts, talk about them, give our opinions to different statements. You can prepare for that for sure. Nevertheless, some questions, especially when you were nervous and everything, yeah, they came in cold-handed, right? You were
Right.
surprised, you
Yeah.
couldn't maybe answer straight away a question. Yeah, and this made some people even more nervous. But as you told me, you also changed that concept.
Right. Yeah. We did see that sometimes people would come in extremely nervous, and then you ask a question, and maybe it just isn't their up their alley, as we say, and made them even more nervous. And then you get into a, sort of a downward spiral from there. So what we did is we decided to actually change the format a little bit and allow students to actually prepare a podcast. And so then we start the oral exam off with, okay, Marco, you have this podcast on, oh, I don't know, whatever, GM, General Motors, and their struggles and the, blah, blah, blah. Could you just give us a brief summary of the podcast, and then maybe we have a follow-up question just to make it interactive and interesting, because we also want it to be interesting for us, otherwise it gets to be boring, right? And so I think that has proven to be a way to really relax students, and because they have something that they can prepare. And of course, it's not that we want you to come in and just regurgitate and memorize this word for word. It should be a relaxed
Natural
summary.
conversation.
Absolutely. And that's the way we do the oral exams. It's not the Spanish Inquisition, right?
Yeah, I think that's good to hear. I talked to a lot of my friends, and they actually also said that the exams after the coronavirus period really changed, and that they really liked the new formats, that they come along with them. And yeah, so if you hear older students talking about their experience with the English classes here, that they think it was hard and everything, I think this is a perception of the past, right? Like a lot of things have adapted also to the feedback of the students, so you really should always give feedback to your teachers. Like if you're feeling that a topic is, yeah, maybe gone through too fast and you didn't grasp everything. I think all of you guys are always very happy to answer questions and yeah, help your students, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, we love it when people ask questions. It should be interactive. There should be a good back and forth. That's the way we like to teach. And it is a language course. Of course, it's a it's as you say in German, Fach English. So we're definitely talking about difficult things, right? We're talking about business and economics, and it's not always easy, but at the same time, it should be a discussion. And we very often we'll just take things right out of the news, and let's just talk about this because it ties in with what we have in the reader. I'd say it's like a living subject matter. I mean, business and economics, it's you can talk about it all day, every day. So yeah, absolutely, just talk to us and we can go through things in more detail. Yeah, I mean, the best thing to do really is to come to class regularly if you can. I mean, hopefully most of you can. And like you said, Marco, just talk to your teacher.
And also be interactive, participate, guys. Like, I've seen it in my classes, and Scott actually said that it's also his experience. Oftentimes, a lot of students really fear to make mistakes. I'm really sure that in this podcast, grammatically, I already made two or three mistakes for sure. But in the end, you're learning from mistakes, right? Like, if you don't talk in the classes and you use this opportunity to get your English to the level you desire, then it will not happen, frankly saying, because everyone makes mistakes and learns from them. And we take it from there, right?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I just spent a little bit of time teaching some people at a business. And, I mean, now is the time to really learn because later on, when you're out there and you're working with people, you're just going to have to put yourself out there and speak and get your point across. And you can't start thinking about, oh, which tense should I use? You need to just get used to speaking. And that's really what communication is about, right? And like you said, Marco, no one's perfect. Hey, look, I bet I made some grammar mistakes myself. That's not a big deal. The one other thing I would point out with Hauptstufe 1 is that at the end of the module, right, at the end of the oral exam, the 1-2, every student should pick up this FFP, which is the certificate for like a C1 level. And I think that can come in handy later on when you're applying for a job or maybe even a master's program. So it's good to have that, I think.
Even though sometimes some students argue, why don't we offer a TOEFL exam or something like that? For sure, other universities do this, but this is also like a question of funds. And the next thing is actually like what you're doing in your course books, the homework, and all the stuff, it is a really good preparation for the TOEFL exam. Like actually thinking back to the Verschiebetext in the Aufbaustufe 2, which is always frustrating a lot of students. But you're doing this Verschiebetext here with a sentence, right? And in a TOEFL test, you're doing this with a whole paragraph. So in a TOEFL test, I would actually say it's easier than here in class. So it's a really good preparation, guys, to go to the courses. Even though you don't maybe get a of like official certificate from a language agency or something like that, like the TOEFL or the Cambridge certificate. Nevertheless, it is a really good preparation for you. So use this opportunity.
Just a quick word about Hauptstufe 2, because of course that's a C2 level, so it does continue. And I just want to point out that there is the opportunity to do an FFP in Hauptstufe 2 in English, in Wirtschaftsenglisch, and English for Business and Economics. And the nice thing about this course is that there is no other parallel course, and we have a lot of latitude with what subjects we want to cover. So at the moment, this semester, I'm going to be looking at the financial crisis. We're reading a book, and I also open up the exam to students to do a little research project, and then they can write an essay on a topic that they're interested in. So that's the nice thing about Hauptstufe 2. I believe my colleague, Mr. Barreto, in the Hauptstufe 2-2, he's doing a podcast this semester. So we have a lot of flexibility here because there's really only one course. And so I also want to encourage people to continue. Although you might not be able to get credit for it, I would still encourage you to continue because the idea is really that at the end of Hauptstufe 2 that you're able to really write an academic paper in English. And so that's something that I think it's a good skill to leave the University of Passau with personally.
Yes, so because you said it, that maybe you won't get credit for that. Our students for sure should know that if you get credit points for your English courses and you do a higher level, right? Then what will enter into your mark is automatically the highest courses, right? But you can change this, guys. Like if you say, okay, I had very good grades in the Aufbaustufe 2 and in the Hauptstufe 1.1 and 1.2, for example, you always have the option to contact Sprachenzentrum and say, okay, I don't want the Hauptstufe 2.2 put into my regular ECTS account, but I want it as an additional qualification. It's written in German, Zusatzqualifikationen. And yeah, that will appear the English courses, also your grades. And at the end, you always get your certificate, right? So it comes really in handy. And if you have the time and also you like the language, just do it. Because as we said before, this is really now your opportunity to do it with friends, for example, also in a nice environment, less stressed out than when you were working, and with really decent teachers at the university here.
Yeah, well, I hope we're more than decent, but we try to at least be decent. That's just a little joke, don't we? Anyway, but I thank you for inviting me, Marco. I appreciate it very much, and I also appreciate the fact that Professor Jungwirth gave us this opportunity to use your podcast series. So thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, you're always welcome. Yeah, and actually, we hope that we raised interest for you guys in the English courses here at the university. As we said, so run the C test because it's valid for 2 semesters. And yeah, if you don't take the opportunity now, you can nevertheless take it the next semester. But like from my point of view and also from the feeling when I studied in the bachelor here, it makes sense to do it in the first semesters right away. And yeah. So I'll hope you'll have a great orientation week when you're hearing this podcast. Thank you, Scott, for that nice chat, and we will see each other in class, right?
Right, absolutely. And I wish everyone a very good semester start. And you too, Marco.
Thanks a
Take
lot.
care.
Bye.
All right.